You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get some. See where
I live. IGN GameScoop.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week is Justin Davis.
Scoop.
Marty Sleva. That was a long scoop.
What?
He's backed up a little bit. It's like it's a constipated scoop there. Marty Sleva is here, yeah. And Dan Stapleton is joining us.
This is your first scoop in a while. That's why you're getting it. Yeah,
that's why we're starting with, we have a message. People have been worried about you, Justin.
Is that true?
People like Daryl in Korea.
Oh, what? Wow. Korean Daryl?
Doesn't specify which one, but just
says probably South Korea.
I mean, he doesn't specify.
Yeah,
so.
I guess that's true.
Okay. But Daryl says, I've been missing Justin the last few episodes, and as a long-term fan of the show, I find his absence to be highly irregular. To my knowledge, his whereabouts have not yet been mentioned. Perhaps I missed the explanation. Mm. Just wondering if he's okay and when we can expect his return to the show.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Yeah, no, I'm great.
Wink if you're here under duress.
Yeah, yo, to see, people have been making, I grew a little bit of facial hair while I was gone. Mm-hmm. People have been making evil Justin jokes.
Evil Justin.
And I said, nah, it was that last guy. The other guy. That was evil Justin.
Yeah, I wasn't
I'm the good one.
I feel like if you have to say you're the good one, you're probably not the good one. That's
I'm
like,
the good one.
The good one is just like you're good
shut
production.
Up. So you
know. Well, that didn't sound
shut
very
your,
good.
Shut your face.
Anyway, you had your wife had your second kid.
Had a baby.
Took some time off, and now you're back.
Oh. Yeah. Now you'll be in every answer with as a double father.
Yeah.
Oh God.
It's a double dad. I'm back to what's truly important.
Yeah. The baby is now able to raise itself, take care of itself.
She's fine.
Is that what happens after a month?
You got to toughen them up early.
Mm-hmm. Yikes. Mm-hmm.
Like a baby giraffe.
We do have a great show for you this week. We got to talk about the Nintendo Switch, of mm-hmm. course. We're going to answer some questions about video game embargoes, what they are, where they come from. But first, Xbox. That Xbox One.
I've heard of it.
Is getting something called a Game Pass. Xbox Game Pass. Yeah. This is a new way to play and pay for games. Turning it into like a rental, like Netflix on-demand service where $10 a month you get to play as many games out of a library of 100 or so.
Yeah. And a few third-party publishers on board. And
yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. First-party titles too, like Halo 5 is going to be on there.
And it's Xbox One as well as backwards compatible 360 games.
Yes.
Which is cool.
Supposedly PC as well at some point.
That's cool.
Sometime now, are these games downloadable or are you streaming them?
That's the big difference between this and PlayStation Now.
Yeah.
You actually get to download the
One
game.
One of them is good.
Yeah.
PlayStation Now isn't bad.
Yeah. I mean, there are advantages and disadvantages to both. Like on PlayStation Now, you can play that on your phone. if you, well, I guess they didn't support that anymore, but they were.
But for a while, they were on lots of different screens.
So you could play it on a device that isn't necessarily as powerful as an old generation console.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's great. I think this it's years overdue. Like Netflix for games, the most obvious thing on earth. Can't believe someone didn't try to do it sooner.
Yeah, we had Phil Spencer on Unlocked this week, and I'm now best friends with him because that's what happens when you spend 45 minutes next to a man. And yeah, he said that the thing in his mind, I asked him, like, what separates this from PlayStation Now, despite the, you know, aside from the first party games? And he said, they are very much focused on having this, you know, you play this on your console or on your PC. Yeah. Whereas with that, yeah, you could play it on your TV or a certain smartphone or like a Blu-ray player. And that's very much why he wanted the downloads, because he said this is sort of for that like hardcore install base. And then he also said that they're going to, like Netflix, games are going to be added and subtracted every month, like not in huge numbers, but like a handful of games. And that if a game is subtracted, then you have the, you are able to buy it for a discounted rate. I believe it's 20% off.
Oh, I like how you called them the install base, because they like to install the game instead of stream it.
That's right. That's right. Womp.
I like, I mean, to me, it's 10 bucks a month, right?
10 bucks a month.
It's like,
pretty reasonable.
Seems very reasonable. You know, it's about what I actually don't know what I pay for Netflix. They could be charging me any amount of money and I would have no idea.
Yeah, not do I actually.
I think it's $8 or $9. Or it depends on when you were grandfathered in.
I don't think it's more than like $12.
And when you compare it to like that service, it's just got a million television shows and movies. It doesn't really stack up. But like a different way to look at it is if you were wanting to play some backwards compatible game, you know, and that game's $10, like just subscribe to the service for a month. Like,
yeah.
I mean, yeah. You've used Gamefly in the past, haven't you?
Yeah, in the past.
I'm just saying this is like it's kind of similar, but you don't have to like wait for the disc to come in the mail.
Yeah, you get a much broader selection at your fingertips at all times.
And wow, we really lost that chemistry with you gone a month. I think it's also really cool just in terms of like a party setting, like in the same way if you have people over and you're like, what should we watch on Netflix? And you're just scrolling through. This
there's
is like
100 games.
Yeah, what do we want to play? I'm sure there's some cool multiplayer stuff.
Fusion Frenzy.
No, that was not on those consoles.
Lynx.
I really
time
want
cat.
Original. It was a time sweeper. I really want original Xbox games on this.
He was a cat.
But it was called Blinks the Time Sweeper.
Phantom Dust.
And if they flesh it out enough, then it becomes a nostalgia machine, right? Where it's like, oh, yeah, remember that game? I'll download that. Yeah, that cost me nothing.
We've talked about this a lot recently, that we would love Nintendo to do something like this.
This is
right?
the perfect thing for virtual console.
Pay $10 a month and just have access to their incredible library of games.
Yeah.
They would get $10 a month for everybody for life.
Yeah.
There have been on PC, people have tried this kind of service. I forget the names of all of them because they all failed.
There was GameTap.
Right.
But was that also a streaming service?
There were several iterations of GameTap.
There's a bunch of trash. There, yeah.
But yeah, that was one of the models they tried was this kind of thing.
Yeah.
It just didn't catch on partially because their selection wasn't that great.
It's wild that Nintendo hasn't done this yet because they always just nail the landing on online. Traditionally. Yeah. Yeah. They don't. They're very bad at it.
That's the joke.
Yeah, friend codes.
Microsoft also confirmed that this doesn't affect games with gold. So it's also still going to be a thing. If you're an Xbox Live Gold subscriber, you're still going to get your free games every month.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, to me, like, Netflix is just one of those things. Like, it's utility. Like, I just subscribe to it. I will for life. I don't even ever think about, like, I cancel HBO every year when Game of Thrones ends, for example. Like, Netflix, I just keep. Xbox, what's it? Xbox Game Pass? Game Pass. Like, it's not like an auto subscribe for me. But I think about it, like, again, if there's ever a game that I'm thinking about buying, like, I'll check it against that service first.
And if you want to go back, like, Mad Max is up there. Like, if you want to go back and play Mad Max, you don't go, I'll just subscribe to this.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to see a downside to this, optional service.
I mean, the downside is the same as you know, going all digital in the event that some service goes out, is that it's the anti-collector mentality, right? You own nothing. Yeah. You have access to everything. You know, same thing with Spotify and Netflix.
People were happy to do that with music.
Yeah.
Right. Well, they're always going to be holdouts who are like, I just want my copies of my old games. I want those to work on my new console. So
the game plays better from a cart.
So it's good that, I mean, it is nice to have that for some people who have their big shelf of games. Mm-hmm. To be able to continue to access those, and backward compatibility still allows them to do that. Sure. It's nice that this is exists in parallel and doesn't replace.
Yeah, and Phil also
unlike PlayStation Now.
Yeah, Phil also said that they are thinking about possibly debuting games on this.
Ooh.
So like having like probably smaller games, but having like an indie debut on this, and maybe for the first month or two, you can only play it if you have the subscription.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're supposed to go into a preview for Xbox, whatever that early access Xbox Insider program is. And then I imagine it will launch sometime this spring. So it'll be very interesting to see how well it's received and how rich that game library is.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on, this Nintendo Switch is out less than 2 days from the time we're recording this, by the time you're watching or listening this, it'll probably be less than 24 hours. So that's very exciting. And our review is in progress. Our review in progress is up. Vincent Genito is doing it. He's taking a day off probably from all the work of reviewing.
Switch fever?
Into his review. And that he continues to put into it. His current review, he said if he had to score it now, is a 6.7.
Yep.
So it's a little bit disappointing that what he's finding, I guess not too surprising, but maybe a little disappointing. He's just finding that like it's a cool idea that doesn't really excel in either of the pillars that it's really offering. It's like as a console, it's underpowered. And as a handheld, it's sort of big, not as portable, and the battery is too short.
Right. That's the brief summation of it, yeah.
Of it so
and there are a bunch of things he does like about it a lot. He loves the screen on it. He says that's gorgeous.
Yeah.
He likes the feel of the controllers is surprisingly good.
Mm-hmm. Those Joy-Cons.
You know. Yeah, that's a relief for me. Like, they look so uncomfortable, but that's why, you know, hands-on impressions are so important. Like, sometimes the way you see something and then the reality, like, you're like, oh, no, this isn't a problem after all.
Yeah, like, it's like I thought I would absolutely hate it, but I spent, you know, an evening with it, and I'm like, wow, this is not too bad at all.
Did he mention how the cartridges taste? Did he try that? Because we tried that last night.
He did not try that.
Oh, so there was a rumor going around that Nintendo applied a bitters to the physical mold of the cartridges to prevent children from eating them. And Lon and I got drunk last night and put the games on our tongues, and it turns out that is 100% true, and those games taste terrible. And the taste wouldn't leave our mouths for, like, hours.
Good God, man.
So don't do that. Or do that.
So, but hold on now. Oh. Nintendo hasn't confirmed this, just... a drunk Marty thinks it tasted bitter.
Also a drunk Alana. There was two.
The point is...
Two drunk people...
Two drunks don't make it right.
Two drunk people confirm.
Whether they did it on purpose or not, no kid is going to eat those, I think is the point.
Well, yes, because they don't taste good.
Yeah.
So did you try like a DS cart or a...
Did you compare?
Yeah. Well, I would have needed a palate cleanser, like lick an N64 cartridge. Yeah. But we
but
tried it with
both.
These
are very tiny is the thing.
They're very tiny. Yeah. And I tried, I guess just for the record, I tried 1-2 Switch and she tried Just Dance. Mm.
It never occurred to us to apply a taste test to these reviews.
I'm just saying.
But, times, you got to change with the times.
Yeah.
you old man.
But also, like, it's a review in progress because the online infrastructure isn't up yet.
eShop's not up yet.
You can't use the SD slot. There's just about, and like what the one of the big problems with it right now is that the left Joy-Con in particular has a problem where it will disconnect.
Desync. There's rumors. People, every time they're like, okay, we know what's caused it. This is it. It's like, then there's some new wrinkle. Mm-hmm. People are still kind of figuring it out. All we know for now is that, they seem to desync on a regular basis for some folks.
And the question, a lot of it can be from interference from, it uses Bluetooth to connect to the console. And Bluetooth is not really very good at passing through man meat.
No. man flesh.
So if you are, between, like Ryan McCaffrey was saying, he was trying out Super Bomberman, and he had the console set up behind him, and he was just like sitting in a chair close to the TV, and it was, I guess, the signal was passing through his body to the console, and it was just completely non-responsive until he moved. So like and obviously that's not something that you're going to do all the time. It's not going to be a problem for everybody, but the fact that like these things are so sensitive to desyncing when, an Xbox controller or a PlayStation controller would have no trouble at all is a concern.
Yeah, and I'm concerned because I like hanging out with my man meat out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't need
that. Who doesn't?
Yeah.
They call him Marty Man Meat.
Yeah. I mean, also the worrisome thing about this is if you're playing with them separated, like the controllers are very small, and so like I have big hands, and so I got man meat around those little five little sausages.
A critic's job. Like Nintendo shouldn't
Firewatch hands.
Nintendo shouldn't get a pass for having an underpowered console, right? Like they deserve to get dinged for not packing the horsepower into that thing that 2.5 or 3-year-old consoles have. So I completely respect Vince's opinion, but for me personally. Like, it's not important to me. Like, I have a high-end PC. I have gorgeous ultra-looking, ultra settings, and I'm playing Horizon. It's gorgeous. But that's not what I'm looking for from a Nintendo console, so I'm not especially concerned with... It's like a classic case of, like, it's fine that it got an okay score. Like, I think my personal score is probably going to end up being higher, and, that's great. You know,
and obviously this is just the hardware. This is not reflective of the games.
Right. Sure.
And you know, to be fair, Vince has to account for the syncing problems in this score.
Yeah.
Like if that didn't exist, he probably would have given it somewhere in the sevens.
Yeah.
But like with a technical problem that glaring, like you have to take that into account.
It's so hard with a problem like that. Like, is it going to turn into a three red lights problem on the Xbox where it just snowballs into something that is it going to be a story 12 months from now? Or are people going to be like, just put your console here and do this and it's fine.
Or just
like
buy the $70 Pro controller and you're fine.
Yeah, or buy a $70 Pro controller. So we'll see.
And like that, they're, you know, like you were saying, like people aren't necessarily expecting this to be as powerful as a Sony or Microsoft console. But we can't assume when we review something like that, we can't assume that somebody already has a console.
Yeah.
Like we have to assume that people are going to maybe want to treat this as their only console. Mm. How does it stack up in that regard? Mm-hmm. So we aren't reviewing it as an accessory, I guess is the point.
Yeah. Sure. One possible feature for the Switch is that it has its, you know, the library of first party games you would expect coming straight from Nintendo, but then has an awesome like blanket of indie games that those games rest on.
Well, it's so I think that's what you're about to segue into is all the indie games they announced. But a couple of them I just want to point out are I've demoed them on iPad, and so I really hope that they lean into that and like
you think that's a good thing.
Yeah, like I think you know the Infinity Blades and the big sort of AAA iPad games that are out there, like it's a no-brainer to court all those developers and just have hundreds of $2, $3, and $5 Switch games.
Yeah. Well, and there's certain things that, like, there are certain iPhone games or mobile games that that could only work on a Switch. Like, there are mobile games that couldn't work on a PS4 or an Xbox One, not because they're not powerful enough, just because of the control. Yeah, because of the touch.
Yeah, for sure. So they had Nintendo held a Nintendo Direct this week.
It was so awesome.
It was great. Yeah. Like, they showed tons of games. They were like, you know, I have no problem with indie games, and a lot of these games looked awesome. Stardew Valley maybe is one of the most important.
Coming
ones.
With co-op,
it'll be the first portable Stardew Valley. Is that right?
Yeah,
it may.
Yeah, it's not on Vita.
It's not on Vita.
No.
Yeah. They also announced SteamWorld Dig 2.
Yeah, it's great.
Which I actually love the first game.
Same.
That game is awesome.
Blaster
Master Zero looks very cool. It totally like recreated like new 8-bit game.
I played the hell out of Blaster Master.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I loved Blaster Master. Ukulele is confirmed to be coming for it. Previously, Playtonic was just hoping to bring it to the Switch.
And there's a little bit of a hullabaloo because it was originally announced for Wii U, and some people who backed it were like, I want the Wii U version. Now they're like, well, we're not going to make that because that would be a very bad business decision. Yeah.
So we'll make it for Switch. Which, I mean, you know, I get that if you gave some money up front for something, but I mean, I don't know. They're trying to do right by you. Like, it's on Nintendo's new console.
Yeah, for sure.
Are they offering refunds? Yeah.
I think there is like a way to transfer your pre-order of the Wii U to the Switch version.
Like if somebody bought the Wii U and doesn't plan to buy a Switch, though, that's still a burn.
Yeah, that's true.
A burn.
Overcooked Special Edition is coming. Awesome. I actually haven't played Overcooked, but I know people love it.
People in the office play it all the time after work.
Yeah. And I mean, from what I've seen, that seems like a cool type of game you can play on the Switch.
Yeah, and it's definitely one of those games where you can set up the screen and have two people playing on the Joy-Con and play local multiplayer like that.
For sure.
Yeah, I mean, I've been debating. I almost bought that game in the last Steam sale and didn't. And I'm glad I didn't because it's local multiplayer is what that game's all about. Mm. And so I think Switch will be a great home for a game.
Are you going to pit your children against each other?
Yeah, they're the one that, the only one of them can have my love.
Yeah. Wow.
The Escapists 2 is coming. I don't think that sequel's even out yet. I actually wasn't that crazy about the first game, but I know it did develop a following on Steam. Mm-hmm. Goner is a roguelike platformer that's coming. Dandara is a platformer that's coming. Kingdom 2 Crowns. Dan, did I see you playing Kingdom at your desk
Kingdom
a while
is
ago?
Kingdom good, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very simple, but also very good.
It's unclear to me if 2 Crowns is a sequel or just more content.
2 Crowns is a co-op version of it.
Co-op version of it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
That's cool.
I saw a meme. I mean, I know you're going through these. Mm-hmm. That a lot of people in my Twitter feed are like, it's a bunch of old games. They announced a bunch of old games.
Yeah, but it's not even true.
Well, some of them are, but like Blaster Master and Ukulele is not out yet. Yeah. Steam World's new.
Yeah,
and
exactly. Escapist 2 isn't out yet.
Yeah, I don't know.
Runner 3, another entry in the BitTrip Runner series, which has a long history on WiiWare. Blaster Master Zero, you mentioned. Flipping Death looks cool. I forget who the developer was.
I don't recall.
It's kind of like an adventure game, right?
I remember watching that trailer, and you know, I'm like, oh, I like the art, I'm intriged, and then the whole world flips from the land of the dead to the land of the living, and I was just like, whoa!
Yeah.
That looks cool. 2D side-scrolling shooter called Graceful Explosion Machine was announced. Could be up my alley. Mr. Shifty is like a top-down mix between Hotline Miami and X-Men.
Yeah, where you're sort of vamping like Nightcrawler. Yeah.
I did misread that title the first time I saw it.
Yeah. Well, it's easy to do.
Well, we got a strap if the game's not good.
You mentioned Tumbleseed. Yeah. That was like the iPad game, or at least you've seen it on iPad before.
Yeah.
Shakedown Hawaii is the successor to River...
Retro City Rampage.
Sorry. And Pocket Rumble looks cool. Mm-hmm. It's a 2D fighting game that looks like a Neo Geo Pocket Color game.
Yeah.
Okay. I just love that aesthetic. Mm-hmm. That's very cool.
Great lineup.
And then finally, maybe the piece de resistance is Wargroove, which just looks like Advance Wars, a medieval Advance Wars.
I somehow missed that.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Yeah, it looks just like...
Turn-based strategy with rock, paper, scissors.
I've always been more of an Advance Wars guy than a Fire Emblem guy. Same. And so if Nintendo won't do it, indie developers have no choice but to take it upon themselves.
Yeah, this is from Chucklefish, the Stardew Valley publisher.
Yeah.
Developers.
Yeah.
You know,
and then
Chucklefish picks such smart projects to publish.
And then throughout the day, like just a bunch of random indie games were there, like Thumper's coming. And
I missed that.
Was a VR game, right?
Yeah, that was a PSVR. Also, you could just play it on PS4, but
or PC.
Yeah, and Chloe loved it. And stuff like Towerfall's coming, Snake Pass, Snake Pass, I played it yesterday. Rules.
Oh, yeah.
It's like Little Big Planet team, and it's it's sort of like it's Banjo meets
really cool.
Physics based snacks.
Don't step on me, snack.
Towerfall is a good one.
Yeah, Towerfall
too, for local multiplayer. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Justin and I are getting Switches on Friday. Did you guys pre-order?
No.
Okay. Nah, I'm just gonna borrow an office.
I know. I understand.
It's gonna take Justin.
I think the Switch as a double dad. The Switch, I think, is really gonna fit nicely into the way that my life is right now.
Yeah.
When my first daughter was born, that's right when Watch Dogs had came out, and I played the opening of Watch Dogs 5 times, you know, because like it's just hard. Like I'd play it and then put it down for 4 or 5 days and be like, well, I might as well just start over.
Really like that birthday scene.
Yeah, and I'm playing Horizon now, and don't underestimate turn the TV on, turn the console on, you know, is the controller charged? Like, that takes, time that I could just be in the game. So even something as little...
tens of seconds.
No, but, that's not true. Like, you know, to boot into the game and you have the title screen, then continue the game. So something is
God forbid you need to download the game to your PS4.
Wait till you guys have kids.
Well, yeah, so even something as simple as, a very fast stop and resume functions. Like, put down Zelda for a day and resume, you know, and it's back up and in the game for 5 seconds. Being able to play, in bed or wherever. Like, I really think that Zelda's probably going to get played a lot more than Horizon just for that form factor alone seems to suit me in my double dad lifestyle.
Please stop saying that.
Double dad.
I keep thinking of double dare. Is Mark Summers in your house? Is he taking care
Mario
of your children
Kart
right
double
now?
Dad.
Oh, you're a weird
dude. My two dads. That's a double dad.
That's a double dad, yeah.
let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Listeners, remember you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com, just like Dan from Brooklyn did. And Dan says, love the show. I hadn't really gamed since the PS2, and recently my girlfriend bought me a PS4.
Glad to have
you
back.
So you guys have been my source for getting back into gaming.
Nice.
I bought Horizon Zero Dawn on day one, and I'm loving it. But whatever happened to the inbox material? Like paper maps in San Andreas, or even more info about the developers.
$60
$60 ain't cheap. Even a $12 CD has a booklet of some type. Am I the only one wanting this? Yeah, Dan, while you were gone, games stopped getting instruction manuals.
It's like he was in a coma and he got out. We were like, brace yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think there was that weird middle period where they were still trying to pretend like you get a 3-page instruction manual that was just sad and terrible. And now I like that they've dropped all pretense.
First,
like
they lost the manuals lost all color.
Yeah.
And they would just print the manual in black and white. And then it was I remember opening up a Ubisoft game and the manual was just printed on the inside of the box.
Yeah.
There wasn't anything you could just take out. It's just
Until this guy sees a Switch game.
Oh, yeah.
There's this big case with just this little tiny SD card in it.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, I imagine it was a way for publishers to save money, but I don't know if it was based on actual data where they didn't think people actually ever really looked at the manuals.
I think it's based on the rise of tutorials. Tutorials. You never had in-game tutorials back in the PS1, PS2 days and before.
Yeah,
they would just throw you in there and say, okay, look at the manual. That'll tell you what button to push.
Yeah.
Now
so much hand-holding, right, when you start a game now.
Yeah.
I mean, ideally, they make that optional, but not all of them do. Horizon Zero Dawn was actually not too bad about that. There was it had a tutorial, but it was relatively brief before it started getting you into things that actually required some dexterity. I haven't restarted it, so maybe I'd hate that part when I try again. But
yeah, I think it's also like fun getting into Horizon Zero Dawn. The way it introduces you to the world and the mechanics is fun.
Yeah,
right. It's very clever.
Yeah.
But yeah, in short, I think that's what killed the manual more than anything. Manuals were absorbed into the games themselves.
Sorry, Dan.
Yeah, I was trying to think like if you
Dan from Brooklyn, yes. Not Dan Stapleton. Okay.
Yeah,
sorry, other Dan. Yeah. And like this guy is actually probably an example of the kind of person that would not be on board with the download Netflix style service.
Yeah,
well,
he wants his physical stuff.
I do like that. Especially thanks to Kickstarter, and I say before that like everything old is new again. That like if you want to give a developer like Obsidian, $80 or $100, like you can get the cloth map and the little feelies and like all that stuff and. That sort of old school mentality still exists alongside like the new school mentality too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's more, I feel like there's more outside material for video games than there ever has been. Like I was at Green Apple Books, which is
a
famous bookstore.
Fan.
Yeah. And there was an entire shelf that had like fan gamer books about like Earthbound and Undertale and Stardew Valley. And I was like, oh, like this stuff, like if these books existed when I was a kid, I totally would have bought a bunch of the Earthbound books.
Like, can you imagine, would anyone have guessed in 2017 that there'd be, all kinds of Earthbound merch?
Yeah, like these awesome,
just
like
the explosion of really high end $400 collectible statues and really low end $6 Animal Crossing amiibo.
And then there's like that awesome Zelda art book that just came out that has concept art going all the way back to Zelda 1.
There's an art book for Horizon as well.
For Horizon, yeah.
So I guess that's the other place it went is they're selling it to you.
One of my hobbies is I collect. We get them. They float around the office.
Where's Waldo books?
Okay, yeah. We don't want to get into that. We don't have time for that. No, I collect terrible art books, terrible video game art books. Like remember the art in Rise, Son of Rome.
I don't.
There's a really good one.
I have a Gears of War art book.
I don't remember the name of the game, but it's like last gen Xbox game. One of those like totally forgettable third person like action, medieval action games where you play as a girl wearing a totally skimpy outfit. Yeah. And then there was an art book for that game floating around the office.
Like, why does anyone have this?
Yeah. Although I should, I just bagged on Gears' art a little bit. But even flipping through a book like that, it's fascinating how, they create the world whole first and then destroy it. And so, I don't know, you pick things up out of those art books. They're pretty interesting.
I was trying to think what other things would seem really different if you hadn't played a game since the PS2 era.
They want updates?
Yeah, yep. If you just, got a PS4 and started playing Horizon Zero Dawn.
It turns out when you put your disc in, you don't get to play the game right away.
No. Yeah,
system now, updates in general.
Yeah,
since you've been gone, developers stopped finishing their games before they sell them to you and ship them to you.
Yeah,
yeah. I will. Horizon had the smallest day one update out of any big AAA game in recent memory that I can think of.
Yeah, no. And in fact, we got that one very early on because they seemed to just have everything locked down, and maybe they pushed the release date back for marketing reasons or something, but they just had copies ready to go on disc with what they were confident with people playing, which is unusual these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
sadly,
everything else comes in hot, but Horizon seemed to be pretty done.
Also, Dan from Brooklyn, when you're playing a game and a little message pops up congratulating you for something, that's called a trophy. Xbox has the same sort of system called achievements. They've become standard now, except Nintendo still doesn't do them.
And also, before you get too excited, no, they don't do anything. They are pointless.
That's true. Okay, this is Antonio Avery from Detroit, Michigan.
That's a cool name.
He says, I'm a first-time writer, and my question is twofold. What is the importance of embargoes for video games? For example, I've heard you all say that I'm playing this game that I can't talk about. I'm just curious as to why. Most people who follow the gaming circuit know a lot about the games that are coming out, and to know that you guys are playing it or have copies of them would not diminish anything. So let's say we can answer the first fold first. Yeah.
There are several reasons for it. Mm-hmm. One is they don't want everybody to just be giving off the cuff impressions as fast as they can.
Mm-hmm.
They want you to actually play through it and consider it and not just throw stuff out there. Also, that has another effect, which is to prevent people from rushing through reviews and trying to score something without finishing it or without spending a significant amount of time. It takes the race out of it, the race between different reviewers.
Mm.
Not the race of the people.
I was looking this way. Did one of you guys make a face?
I didn't.
You made a little bit of a face.
I didn't mean to. I was thinking about something else.
Anyway. So, everybody's reviews go up at once, so there's no more competition to get it up first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's that's the major thing. Also, the publishers like to control when the message hits.
Yeah, it creates sort of an event when a review embargo goes up.
If you go to several game sites, if you see one preview on one site, that's easy to miss or ignore. But if every site you go to on this day has this preview of Mass Effect Andromeda up, then it's much harder for you to miss that.
Yeah. I mean, it's about control. Like, if they're confident that they have a really, really, truly excellent game, you know, they'll be comfortable with that review embargo being several days before the game's launch.
Sometimes. With Horizon, it really seemed to be more about getting out in front of the Switch and where that was going to dominate news coverage. So it's not even necessary. And in that case, they were also very confident with it. But it's not necessarily all about how good they think the game is. Yeah. It can also be, well, strategically, we think we're going to have a more powerful message if it comes out at this time.
Sometimes spoilery. Sometimes there's,
don't talk about this plot point or this character.
In your video review product, try not to have anything past,
sometimes, every once in a while, you get really dumb stuff, but then most of the times it's like, well, yeah, we don't want to spoil the ending of a game that this character returns or whatever.
We never want to spoil anything, but like if there's something that we feel is like really important to show our audience that we have this strong criticism or praise about this game. Yeah. We need to be able to show it in order to talk about it. We're still going to avoid spoiling anything, but we're going to push back on
that.
Yeah, sure. I mean, if the ending of a game is terrible, for example, and it impacts our score of that game, well, then you're very careful in your script.
Like. Yeah. And a lot of times, sometimes we'll get comments where it'll be like, a real journalist wouldn't abide by embargoes. And they're like, oh, you're in the developer's pocket. And it's like, well, no, the fact of the matter is it's a transaction. And the transaction is they are giving us early access to a game.
They don't have to give us
the early. And we are agreeing. They were like, thank you for the early access. And we will not talk about it until blank.
It's contingent on the access. Like, if we want to do whatever we want, we can buy the,
we will buy the game and launch it. Everything will be late.
Yeah. But then our guide, like IGN's a lot more than just reviews, Dan.
wow.
But like, we want to, like, I'm always thinking about neat features we can do around Zelda. And, it's important to have a big, thorough, free guide for Zelda and all the other stuff that we do, and have informed opinions on podcasts is contingent on, getting access to the game as early as we can.
And the thing is, like, that's something that money cannot buy.
Yeah.
Like, we hear a lot about, like, oh, you get free games. It's like, that's not really what it's about. Like, we can afford to buy our own games if we have to, but you cannot buy a game before it's out.
Yeah.
And that's when it's most valuable. So that's why we work with the publishers on that.
Sometimes there's embargo shenanigans that Dan comes up against where they try to embargo a game for after, maybe the morning that it launches.
10 a.m.
When someone in Australia has been streaming it for, 22 hours by then.
Right. So we actually have a hard policy against that now. We won't agree to an embargo that goes beyond the commercial availability anywhere in the English speaking world, because everybody has a button on their controller now that puts it on the internet, and we would be handicapping ourselves.
That button is R2.
I also see a lot of people say like, this game is embargoed until the day of release. That means they're not confident. That's not true at all. Like, it's by far the most common embargo date is like the launch release day. Time.
Yeah. And that being said, if we don't get copies until day of release, a lot of times that can be worrisome, that's just a Bethesda thing now, and usually Bethesda games are pretty good.
Yeah, it's not a rule. Sometimes there are reasons for it. Sometimes things come together at the last second, and they just weren't ready yet. Mm-hmm. It's not a hard and fast rule that a day and date embargo or not even getting review copies is necessarily like a No Man's Sky situation.
Yeah, I mean, like Doom and Dishonored are two examples of pretty good games.
The second fold of Antonio Avery's question is, he says, I've been playing video games since 1985 when I was 3, and that's around the last time I actually played a Zelda game. I've owned many systems since then, but the last Nintendo console I owned was the Super Nintendo.
Nice. Me too.
That being said, I'm totally all in for the Switch. I have got mine pre-ordered along with Zelda, and I was wondering if I need to have played any other Zelda games to appreciate this one.
This is going up tomorrow, right? After the Zelda embargo, speaking of embargoes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, man, Zelda.
The short answer, though, is no.
No, you don't need to play.
Yeah,
and like all of the Zelda games are like that. There's no continuity, really.
About the timeline?
Dan, you're waiting into some molasses here.
A thin thread that supposedly connects all the games, but I don't think even most gamers would be able to explain that to you.
And that's the hyper-nerdy next level stuff.
It's actually unclear as of now, people are piecing together more from the spoilers.
We have some theories,
that, maybe it's unclear whether they're pulling like a Logan with this game, where it's like, ooh, here's all these fun little references to the old games, but really it's its own thing.
Yeah.
Or if it is like directly, concretely connected to
concretively.
Yeah, no, you hit the nail on the head. Like, you can totally enjoy this game just fine.
Into the Conquest.
Having not played a Zelda game since the original Legend of Zelda, that being said, go play Link to the Past, you weirdo. but also at the same time, I put in like 12, 15 hours over the weekend and saw a ton of stuff that I was like, oh, that's really cool. Oh, look at that. And so, yeah, you'll get a little bit more out of it if you did.
Dive in. And enjoy.
It'll be fine. Also, play as Naked Link the whole time. Because that boy doesn't have any clothes. No. But then if you go to Death Mountain, you might die. Sorry.
Well, the hard mode doesn't come till later on. So if you want to play in hard mode now, you cannot put on any clothes.
Naked, don't do Naked Link in hard mode.
All right, it's time to play Video Game 20 Questions, and I do believe this is Dan's first time.
I think so. I may have participated one on it.
First question is going to be, is it a console game? And Dan's like, I'm out.
This week's suggestion comes from Ricard in Sweden.
Wait, is Mario Kart?
Is that your first guess?
No, I was just wondering, is Mario Kart behind us?
All right, let the questioning begin.
Okay, do you collect and spend money, your currency, in this game?
What? Yes.
All right. Is it before January 1st, 2000?
Yes.
All right.
Is it a three-dimensional game? Does it have three-dimensional art?
It's a very good question.
It's the only kind I ask.
Yes, Sean.
I would say the answer to that question.
Okay.
All right. Oh, dang.
Sean. Yes.
All right. It's a very
shifty answer.
It's a vague. Oh, Mr. Shifty?
Mr. Shifty. Does this come out before January 1st, 1990?
No.
90s. Only
what?
90s.
It had 3D art. What are you doing?
What are you doing?
It was assumed it was a 90s game.
I can leave if you don't want.
Is this game a part of a series?
Yes.
Is it a platformer?
No.
Okay.
All right. So
it's a 90s game that's part of a series. It is not a platformer. It has currency and maybe some 3D.
Pseudo 3D. Was this game exclusive to one platform?
No.
Okay, so my
my
gut told me it was Sonic Blast.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking too. But yeah.
Was that exclusive to a?
Yeah, exclusive to Genesis. I mean, it probably appeared in some weird Steam collection later.
Could it be like an NBA Jam kind of thing?
Yeah, some situation like that.
Wait,
what was the question?
Did someone say a platformer?
Yeah, so it is not a platformer.
It is not a platformer.
No.
Oh, it's definitely not Sonic Blast.
I already forgot what I just asked.
Yeah,
what
that's
did
fine.
I just? Oh, I asked if it was an exclusive, and the answer.
Oh,
was
I know what it is. Oh, okay. I thought it was Mario RPG. It's definitely not that either. Was this game on a?
And it is part of a series.
Yes.
Okay.
He said emphatic yes. Was this game considered to be a good video game?
Yes.
Sometimes they're bad video games, Dan. Like Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine. That was a bad game. Well, if it's currency.
Was this a 16-bit game? Let's get.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Is this an RPG?
No. That's 10.
Justin, what happened?
What did you do, Marty?
What did I do? Where did Jared go?
A reckless use of questions.
When Sam's not here, I can go off all buck wild.
Just let your man meat hang out.
32-bit or possibly handheld or PC.
Or 64.
Well, yeah, that's true. Come on. But like that generation, 32/64-bit generation. Not a platformer.
Not an RPG, but there's currency.
Are you in some sort of vehicle or ship in this game? Is that a part of this big part of this game?
No.
You play as a human.
Yes.
What?
Yeah, I don't like.
What?
Maybe you play. It could be like a Tekken.
Sean's laughing in the other.
Shut up, Sean. This game takes place on Earth.
No.
Not Tekken. Well,
this better not be this Batman thing again. What was Batman? Does it take place in America?
It doesn't take place on.
Oh yeah, and he said no. Oh, I'm still angry. I'm getting all hulked out about it again.
We got to get a genre down, guys, or something. We just got to get better.
I forgot. Do you play as a human?
Yes.
Yes, but it was like a weird. It was like a.
Is this
yes.
a, okay? Is this a licensed game?
No.
This could be a Mario thing. Mario's kind of 64? A weird human.
Well, he's a weird mutant based off Mario Odyssey. Are New Donk City.
Kind of platformers.
Oh, those are absolutely those are platformers. That game has zero currency. Well, it has coins.
What are you talking? It's all about coins.
Yeah, but you don't spend them on anything.
You don't spend them.
You spend stars. In theory, stars are the currency.
You don't spend stars.
Yeah, you do. To get to further.
This seems like a waste of time, this discussion.
It's 20 questions, not 20 minutes, Dan. This is a filibuster.
We can't lose if the game never ends. I already completely lost. All right, so let's recap. Not a 16-bit game, 90s game, spend money, 3D, not a platformer, not an RPG, part of a franchise, not licensed.
Play as a human.
Play as a human.
A human.
Not on Earth.
Not on Earth.
Oh, what is
it? Oh, that's right. A human not on Earth.
Some form of 3D.
Oh, where's that human going? Space?
But it's not like a Star Wars or Star Trek game. And you're not.
It is part of a fan. It's not licensed. That's right. Okay.
Wait, hold on. This is a good clue. Not on Earth, but not in space, but you play as a human.
I mean, like a planet's not space.
Right, but you're not in a ship. That was one of my questions.
Gotcha.
So it could be like fantasy. Do you think would you call a skeleton a person?
This is not. Don't get into this right now.
It's also on multiple platforms.
Oh yeah.
Not an RPG.
Is this like a fantasy themed game?
Yes.
Okay.
Ooh.
15.
Ooh.
Oh, really?
Five more to go.
Oh.
A fantasy.
I mean, it could be a Final Fantasy.
It's not an RPG.
It's not an RPG. Okay.
As Damon's like, those aren't RPGs. what fantasy games aren't RPGs? This seems to be the primary destination for fantasy video games.
Yeah. Actually, like an action game.
Well,
like
we got to figure out what weapons to use. Use guns?
It's a fantasy game.
Are you asking if you use guns?
Now I'm starting to say no. I don't. What about spells?
What about Kingdom Hearts?
That didn't come out in the 90s.
Okay.
That's okay. Also, that game is licensed as hell, dude.
was this game made in Japan?
Ooh.
There you go.
No.
Okay.
Schwarmpf.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, dude, this is an all dang. We're all danging.
We're about at the point, Dan, you're not on the show very much, where I usually just give up.
Yeah. This could be a Castlevania game.
Could be.
You have currency. It doesn't take place on Earth, but you play as a human.
But they're made in Japan.
It's a series. They're absolutely made in Japan. Those are incredibly Japanese video games. Dunk.
Also, we have to talk about, if you had asked me, I probably would have said Castlevania takes place on Earth. Like Transylvania.
And Batman?
Yeah, Transylvania is a real place. I can show you on a
map.
You're a
maniac.
What?
All right. If you want to spend time on this and get distracted from the task,
maybe it's a Ubisoft game.
Okay.
What was Ubisoft doing in the 90s? No, that's
Splinter Cell.
That's Star Wars, not in the 90s. Splinter Cell was on Xbox.
I don't remember the 90s.
Wait, was it 90s or 2000s?
90s.
Okay.
16 or 32/64 bit game.
Not an RPG.
3D. I wish I knew.
We're bad at this.
I mean, could it be a sports game?
We knew it was third person. No, because it doesn't take place on Earth. It's fantasy. I mean, we know it's a fantasy
game.
Shaq-Fu.
It's a fantasy game, and it's not 16 bit.
Shaq-Fu 2? come on.
No, I know. I was thinking about that. Like first person versus third person. It could be like
first person. Is this first person?
This first person?
Sean, what did you do?
Wait, could this be Half-Life?
No.
What? Well, this could be Half-Life.
So it's not first person.
I'm saying no, it is not a first person game.
Okay, it's definitely not Half-Life.
Is it like a God game? Is it like StarCraft or like some silliness like that?
StarCraft's not a god game.
Game in the sense of like whose perspective are you?
Yeah, but at no person would you, or no point, he wouldn't go no for first person. That game's not.
I know, but that's why I'm thinking maybe like a Warcraft or something.
Is it an overhead perspective?
But we only got a couple questions left.
Yeah, four questions left. Oh wait, did I count the? I don't know if I counted.
Yeah.
I don't think I counted.
Oh, you counted it twice.
No.
Recount.
I didn't count the first person question. Okay, you have three questions left.
Oh, dang.
I think overhead is a good question.
Okay.
Is it an overhead perspective?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Two questions left.
Black and white?
The Sims, Diablo.
SimCity?
Black and white was 2000. SimCity takes place on Earth.
Diablo 3, part of a franchise.
It would be Diablo 1 or 2.
One or two, but
were they ported to other platforms?
Yeah, yeah. I played Diablo 1 on PS1, like a sick dude.
Yes, they were.
Yeah. Was it Diablo an RPG?
Yeah.
I don't know why it would take Damon so long to figure out they're not first person.
Oh, yeah, that game is incredibly not first person. That game is just like savagely not first person. What's going on overhead?
What about like an RTS? What about like Warcraft?
Did Blizzard make this game?
Yes.
Oh! Okay. All right.
Can you get it? This is your last question.
No!
This is it. You have to guess the game.
So wait, did somebody say that this game has 3D graphics?
I would say...
Sean came down on yes.
It's isometric.
The question was not about...
Is this game 3D? All right, my gut says okay. Diablo 1. When did Diablo 2 come out? Was it in the 90s?
Yeah, Diablo 2, I think, was 2000.
Yeah, but Damon doesn't like to do sequels usually.
Okay, my gut says Diablo.
It's fantasy.
Fantasy. You play as a human. You're not on Earth. You got monies.
It could also be the original Warcraft.
Yeah.
But based on the weird answer about 3D... Maybe StarCraft.
Yeah, I'm weirded out by the first person thing. Yeah, okay. Is it Diablo?
No.
It is not Diablo. I'm still counting this as a win.
I don't think so. I want to go on record. I picked a game this week that I thought Dan would be able to choose. Released in...
I wasn't expecting you to.
1995 for PC. But then coming to PlayStation and the Saturn in 1997, okay. Warcraft 2.
Warcraft 2, okay.
Warcraft 2.
Warcrafts? Why?
It's got pirates in it. Why? The one with pirates.
Definitely has humans in it.
It does.
You play as a human. See, that's always a difficult question because you might not play as a human, but you can.
Yep. That game does not have 3D art.
Yeah, that's why I was unclear if it was actually running in 3D. But we said no.
That is a sprite-based game, Sean.
I wasn't sure about
Diablo
that.
Diablo being isometric is a little bit more of a fuzzy area than the 2D Diablo or 2D Warcraft, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Now we're gonna go look at some Diablo 2 sprites after this.
Delicious.
If we'd said it wasn't in 3D, would you have gotten it?
I would have been a lot closer.
I agree with that.
And especially after you said Blizzard, yes.
Yeah. You guys got close.
We won, guys.
We got close. So spiritual here's the victory. Cigars.
Thank you for the suggestion this week, Ricard from Sweden. That is all the scoops we have for you this week. Everybody who pre-ordered a Switch, enjoy it in Zelda this weekend. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Marty. Thank you, Dan. My name is Game Scoop. Nope. My name is Damon.
You legally have to change your name to Game Scoop.
This is Game Scoop. My name is Damon, and we're out.
Get me another shirt.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And, spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's H-Y-P-E-R-T-H-E-T-I-C-A-L.